Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Evan and Caitlin podcast, the show that has 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife.
Are you saying we're not fulfilling their needs?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's a bad thing to start the podcast with. Well, it's not my fault. It's Andrew Bill's fault because he submitted that intro. And if you go on and submit an intro too, go ahead and tweet us at Twitter with hashtag EK podcast intros. We will not be held responsible.
But tweet thank us you. At Twitter, everyone.
Yeah. But thank you, Andrew Bills, for submitting that intro. I didn't fully think it through about like what the meaning of that was.
It was just a low-key insult.
So speaking of low-key insults, YouTube has stopped. I'm seeing how I can like
keep going. Okay, okay. Keep going.
I'm seeing if I can make the transition. YouTube has stopped showing everybody how the exact number of subs that you have on a channel, so that people can't low key insult you by unsubscribing.
Oh, that's the connection.
And you can see every single one. Does that work?
Sort of.
I kind of failed at both things. I tried to make a transition. It didn't work. I tried to introduce the next topic, and I did it in a confusing way that probably has people confused. So to clarify, YouTube for the longest time has displayed the exact number of subscribers that a channel has. That's via their like public API.
And there are websites like Social Blade, I think is the most common, that will show you your live subscriber count going up and down.
Yeah. So it's like you have the power to like you can go to anyone's YouTube channel, and you can unsubscribe and subscribe, and in real time you'll see the number on their channel go up or down. So it's like you felt like you had that control, which is interesting. And you could also like track someone's channel over time. And I think that I'm not exactly sure why YouTube did this, but I think that it might have to do something with like people losing a whole bunch of subs in reaction to this or that, and like
that's what I think it was. I think it was, especially after the like James Charles Tati thing. Which, if you guys aren't sure what I'm talking about, I'm not going to go into the full details. But basically, it was a YouTube feud involving the like most subscribers lost, and I think most subscribers gained in a day.
Yeah.
And I think seeing that live count, like, fuels more people to join in on the like mass unsubscribes, where people are trying to like cancel a YouTuber.
Yeah. So now like I think they're truncating it to basically like three numbers or something like that.
Three or four digits.
So it's like, I'm not sure if they're ever going to do more than that. So in the hundreds,
I've only seen three. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you can get like, you know, going up, but like starting at 1,000 or so, they'll say like 1.23K. And then when you get to like the 10,000s, I think it only goes like 11K, 12K, 13K.
Oh, it doesn't even say like 13.1, 13.2?
It might. But like you start losing digits as you go up. And once you're like past a million, the only digit people will be able to see is if you gain or lose
a million.
No, I think it's like 1.1 million, 1.2 million. But like no. 100, no. Once you're in the millions, that's it.
Well, no, I was going to ask, because we saw like a screenshot of PewDiePie's, but it's different because now he's in 100
million. 100 million. So it's like when he went from like 100 to 101, it was just like one day it's like YouTube says, hey, he got a million more subs or something, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, like on the back end, it's still all tracked individually, but like public facing, the number is truncated. I think so that people losing and gaining subs isn't as big of a thing. It isn't as much news.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, and I guess like if they lose or gain enough, it's still going to be a big enough number to show up.
Yeah.
But I think what they're hoping is that like it won't gain traction as easily, because like leading up to where it's a big enough chunk to make a change, people won't see it. So maybe it'll lose steam before it like gets to that.
Yeah.
Like spot where it's big enough to show the difference.
And this is us just completely guessing. We have no clue. We have no insider information.
That's
but
true.
One thing we can definitely state for sure is like how this change makes us feel. Because I have mixed feelings, both positive and negative. And I think that if we had of just come into the system and this is how it was, we'd be like, okay, that's just how it is. But we're kind of used to seeing the real-time data.
Yeah. Well, and to give an example is like with Instagram, when I go to our Instagram page, it's truncated.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you can go farther back and see like details, but you know, we're like 40.3k followers.
Yeah.
And it only goes up every now and then because like it doesn't show you any more detail than
and
that.
And I've never been obsessed with that number.
And I've never been obsessed with that number.
For YouTube, we are constantly checking it too much.
But I don't think it's because, I mean, maybe it's partially because it was a full detail number, but also it's because YouTube is like the main part of our business.
It's the main part of our business.
Whereas and Instagram also it's is like a side thing.
And also with Instagram, you're posting fairly regularly, so you never know what you're gaining subs from. With YouTube,
well, you can actually, you can check it. You just have to go into analytics.
Yeah, but it's like such a pain that I just never do it.
Yeah, I also just don't care.
And,
on Instagram.
And, you know, follow us on Instagram, please, because we post great content over there.
We post pretty much every day. But like, I don't care if we grow on Instagram as much.
Long term, I do care.
Long term, I care. But like, I don't obsess over every post. You know what I mean? And I don't obsess daily over the subs we gain.
We have a healthy amount followers. Of caring, which, and healthy means not too much, not too little.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't care at all, well, I guess it wouldn't be good for our Instagram account because we'd never post. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I guess what I mean by care or not caring is I don't obsess.
We don't obsess. That's it.
Yeah,
we
do, I care. Do care.
And if we started losing subs over there, we would be saddened.
Right. I'd be
you know,
sad,
it's
yeah.
like you do care,
I do
but
care.
You're not obsessed
yeah,
with
I'm not
with
obsessed.
YouTube. We would check
multiple times a day.
Multiple times a day because we can check in real time mm-hmm. how many we got that hour. You mm-hmm. know, and it's mainly via Social Blade, which is a site that is going to be absolutely destroyed now.
Yeah.
I think. But, you know, we would see like, why is it going up now? What is happening? You know, and we try to look at all the data and figure it all out when really we should just be, and not that it takes away that much time from us creating new good content, but it does take up a decent chunk of our brain space.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I mean, I don't think I'm going to obsess over it less just because I can't see it.
I think I might.
Really?
Because I was about, like, you know, we were at dinner and, like, Caitlin was picking up something or, like I don't know why, but, like, I had the instinct to, like, check what our subs were at for today. Like, how many subs have we gotten today? Like, what's the health? How are things, like, you know, checking? It's kind of like we have this, like, baby that we're checking in on. Mm-hmm. It's like, how are you right now? How are you right now?
Are you still breathing?
Are you still breathing? What's wrong?
Oh, man, I freaked out.
Oh, she freaked out.
Yesterday, it seems to be, like, when the change officially took
place.
Well,
right? Yesterday, when we're recording this, it's the 18th today, so it's Wednesday, so it's on the 17th of September is when the change seemed to go into effect.
Yeah, we're recording a little early this week. And so I was doing just that. I was like, oh, I wonder how many, like, subs we're at so far today. And I reloaded Social Blade, and when you lose subs, it's red. And I saw, like, a red number.
Significant number. It was like negative 300,
like
negative 400.
300. And I was like, hold the phone. What's happening? Did we do something wrong?
Yeah.
Is someone canceling us?
It's like, did someone write a mean post about us or something? I was like, is this something we need
to
freak out
about? Yeah. So I was like, oh my God. And then I realized, because the reason I checked is because we just went into 430,000 subscribers. And like every 10,000 subscribers, we have like a little letter board, and I change the number. So I was like, oh, we have 420 subs. We have 430 or 420K, 430K. And so I got excited. I was going to go show Evan. And then I was like, I wonder how many we've gotten. But when I saw the red number, I also saw that it still said 429 something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that's weird too.
Oh, and you thought we'd lost.
No. It triggered something in me to think like, well, it's, like, the YouTube app is going to be more correct than the Social Blade app. So that means something's wrong with Social Blade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had a moment of panic. Like, what's going wrong?
I was like, oh, God. Because we've never had a red day. At least since we started checking.
Yeah.
Maybe in the early days, like, before I knew Social Blade was a thing, we might have had some red days.
Because we always lose subs pretty much every day.
You always lose subs, but we've never lost more than we've gained in a day.
Yeah.
I know.
But I think long term, this might be a healthy change for us. I mean, if we want to, we can look back at our data. We still have like all the data, how much we gained each day, what videos did. So it's like, as creators, we're not losing much functionality.
I mean, if I really want to do it, I can like at 9 o'clock every morning, I can see, because we can still see our exact number of subs on the YouTube Studio app. So I can look.
You could like track it yourself. Oh no, like write down like when you wake up, what's the number at? And then you like do the math. No, but like see that's an unhealthy level of obsession.
I know, but if I'm obsessed enough to do that, then Social Blade has just made it worse. YouTube's just made it worse. Because now I'm obsessed and I'm doing math.
Danger, danger. But I think that long term though, going back to it, I think that this will be good because we won't think on it too much. And if like we're like, hey, let's go into an analytics period and let's like look at the data, see which videos are like doing it for our channel and are healthy and like what isn't doing as well and like let's dive into the data.
Yeah.
We can do that consciously instead of it being an unconscious thing or like something that's in the back of our head too much that's kind of like plaguing us.
That is true. And it probably would be healthier for us to look at it like more on a weekly basis than on a daily basis, because there's more fluctuation in a day than there is week to week.
Yes.
Or like between days than there is between weeks.
Yeah. So I think it is generally good.
But right now it just gives me anxiety.
Yeah. It gives. But I think that like in the long term, it'll be good. And also I think it's kind of good for other people not to obsess over it too.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Like not just like channel owners, but also like the general public.
Well, because hopefully it'll like, I mean, if the goal is to stop or slow down the cancel culture, hopefully we'll discourage that. I don't know. I mean, sometimes the cancel culture is like a whole other thing to get into.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing. But I think that since it's such a recent change, I'm not sure how much we'll see the results right now.
Yeah, it'll probably be a bit.
But I mean, like, if you look at the general opinion online, most creators are like, this is horrible. Please change it back. I do not like this in any way.
Because we all obsess over it.
I know.
Well, you know what would have been nice is if, because you can, I mean, do we have an account on Social Blade? Or do we just...
We do have an account.
What would be nice is if you logged in to your own account on Social Blade, you could still see your own detailed numbers. And I know it's not Social Blade's doing, it's YouTube's doing, because YouTube's not sending them the data, but that would be nice.
But the thing is, and that would be kind of nice, but at the same time, YouTube would have to work with, like, third-party companies to have a special API.
Here's a better thing.
What's that?
YouTube should just provide us our hourly sub data.
Yeah. They could totally do that. I don't think they do. They don't have real-time graphs.
Yeah, I like the real-time. Especially on like launch day.
Now, they do have real-time click-through data now, which is like almost more important.
That's true.
Four videos on a per video thing.
I mean, subs is just a vanity number anyway.
Yeah, nothing matters more than your views. And subs really help with the views, so please subscribe to all of our channels. But also,
more importantly, watch them.
But I think that it will be hopefully a long-term gain in happiness, which brings us to our main topic, which is the 9 keys to happiness.
You've been very on top of your transitions.
I try. But before we get to that, we have a quick sponsored message from Squarespace.
I thought you were going to say, a quick sponsored message from our sponsor.
I'm slightly better at words than that, even though words are hard.
Words are hard.
I'm wearing it for those of you guys who are just listening. I recently had to update our gaming website, EvanandCaitlinGaming.com, because I wanted to add an FAQ. And guess how easy it was?
Was it super easy?
It was super easy. I just logged into Squarespace. I like just wrote a little description, added the text boxes, moved things around, and just hit publish. And it's just like, I'm not sure the best way to describe it to people who haven't created and edited websites before, but you just, they have everything you need built in. You don't need any third-party plugins, and it just works. They take care of all of the updates for you.
Very intuitive.
It's very intuitive.
Yeah.
And I think that like if you're intimidated by making a website, you should definitely like just try it out because you can get a free trial and there's no downsides of it. I mean, before we like published both these websites that we made, EvanandCaitlinPodcast.com and Evan and Caitlin Gaming, I made a trial website. I tried it out. I messed around with things. And you know, one, I didn't like the look of it. The trial ran out. I canceled it. And then I wasn't ready to make another one. And then I went back and I did another trial. I started it. I got it to the point where I was good. And then I hit publish. And then, boom, Evan and Caitlin Gaming is that much more legitimate.
Yeah. So there really is no pressure if having a website is something that's been on the back of your mind, or maybe you need a website for that project you're thinking about doing. You should go to squarespace.com/Evan and Caitlin podcast for 10% off your first order. And have fun with your website, because it's going to look awesome.
Yeah. All right. So the 9 keys to happiness. This isn't something that I am pitching. This is something that I want to discuss and analyze with you.
It's from a book you read, right?
It's from a book I read. Okay. It's The Age of Absurdity from Michael Foley. I'm not sure if I'd recommend the book, honestly. I mean, it was a decent book. And he's kind of like looking at happiness in this day and age with like all of the technology change and the culture change and all of that. And in a way, he kind of seemed a little bit grumpy and kind of nostalgic for times past a little bit. I don't know the best way to say that, but like
a grumpy guy.
It seems mean, but
that's not mean.
I mean, look up the reviews for yourself. There's a lot of like, you know, look it up on Goodreads to kind of get a general opinion other than mine. But it was kind of an interesting look into it. But one part stood out to me, and I wrote it down because he kind of looked through all of like the different quotes about happiness, the different philosophies, all of this thing, all of like the people's thoughts on happiness. And he kind of condensed them to 9 themes that showed up again and again and again and again.
Oh, it's interesting. So it wasn't him just saying 9 things that he thinks are keys to happiness. He was like analyzing data.
Yeah. So he kind of like looked through all of the information that he could gather. And he says like, these are the concepts that came up again and again and again through different regions of the world, through different religions, through different philosophies, all of that. They all had themes around these 9 things.
Interesting.
And I'm like, Let's discuss those 9 things.
Okay.
So, going through the list: autonomy, personal responsibility, detachment, understanding, mindfulness, transcendence, acceptance of difficulty, constant awareness of mortality, and ceaseless striving.
Okay. So, should we jump into each of those? Because that's like a lot to like wrap your brain around all at once.
Yeah. Let's go through them one by one. Autonomy, like I kind of think of it as the independence and freedom in terms of like your will or your actions. So it's like you can do what you want. And I think that
it's kind of the same as like the feeling like you have control over your life.
Yeah. Kind of like one particular circumstance when I think of it is kind of at work. If your bosses trust you and they let you accomplish tasks in your own way, in the order you think is best and all of that, I generally am so much happier than if I'm being micromanaged and I'm being told all the little details of what I need to do at what time, and I need to track it all or write it all down.
That was the worst.
Okay, both of us had periods where like we had to go through track like everything. Full tracking.
Yeah.
Like there was a time where I had to like count how much time I spent out in the shop, even though I went out there frequently, but like they had to like, everyone like in my department was required to spend a certain amount of time out on the shop floor. And it wasn't because of me, it was for someone else, but they had to do it for the whole team, kind of just to help one person. And like, we all had to track it. And like, we did that for a little bit and then we just stopped doing it. But just being able to control your own actions, I think does lead to a lot of happiness.
Yeah, I would say that. Well, I think that's one thing with like our situation now, for example. We work a lot, like a lot longer hours than we used to, but we have full control over when those hours happen. Like we can shift, not when those hours happen, but like when things happen, we can shift things around. So if like in the middle of the day, we're like, hey, we need a brainstorming break to talk about this project. Let's go grab a coffee. We can do that. We're not like in an office where we have to stay at our desk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think tied to this, I put these two together because they kind of like seem very similar, and I'm trying to figure out some of the difference, but autonomy and personal responsibility, I'm not fully sure how he defines personal responsibility, but I think that like owning up to your own actions, like being true to them and kind of like actively choosing them. And I think that's slightly different from the independence and freedom of your will or actions is slightly different than like personally choosing to do something and owning it internally and externally.
I could see that as well. My brain is trying to wrap around the differences.
But I know, like, it's a very slight difference.
Well, I think, like, so personal responsibility, so like owning up to your own actions and decisions. I think, again, that I think it is related because it comes back to control, kind of. It's like the decisions you've made, you had control over them and you own up to that. And I think that makes it easier. Like, if something happens that you regret, it's like, well, at least I made the conscious decision to, like, be where I am now. And if I regret something, you know, or if I wish something would have turned out differently, it's okay because I was making the best decision I could at the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's like the personal responsibility and how it's different than the freedom to make the choices.
Yeah.
So like one thing subtle that Caitlin and I say to each other a lot, it's like, we have this philosophy of like swimming instead of floating through life a little bit. And we always want to kind of be swimming in the direction where we want to go. Mm-hmm. And like, in a way, oh, this is a good analogy. Okay. So the difference between autonomy and personal responsibility. So it's like, autonomy is being able to swim anywhere you want instead of being in the lane. But personal responsibility is taking the conscious action to swim in a different, in a certain direction, instead as opposed just to just
where you float.
Floating. So it's like, you're going to be floating in a big pool or a small pool, or you're going to be swimming in a big pool or a small pool.
Wait, you lost me with a big or small.
Okay. So like autonomy is like how big the pool is. You know what I mean?
No, autonomy isn't how big the pool is. Autonomy is, do you stay in a lane someone told you to swim in, or do you go perpendicular or sideways or squiggle around?
Yeah.
But personal responsibility is, do you swim or do you just float and let the current take you?
Yeah. I think that's the analogy.
The current might take you in a squiggly path, or it might take you down the straight path, but you're just floating.
And I think both are like important aspects of happiness. Both of those like pass my logic test of like,
me too.
Like,
and I mean, we might be
an element of happiness.
We might be biased because we're both the type of people to quit very good, stable jobs in order to do the things we're doing now.
Yeah, you're right. I do know, like, these aren't universal rules. They resonate with me, but I do think that some people like order and, you know, the,
well, I mean, like,
some people like responsibility being taken from them. And being able to, like,
I'm going to word that differently. Because I think it's not really about order. I like order also.
Yeah.
True. You know what I mean? And we have, even though there are some.
Caitlin really likes order.
I really like order. There's, even though there's some parts of our responsibilities that are different every time, like every video is different.
Yeah.
There are parts of our weeks and days that are consistent, and I like that. And then the other thing you said, I think it's not so much that like some people like others having the responsibility. I think maybe a better way to word it is like, it's a lot of pressure to be like fully autonomous of all of your days. And the deciding of what to do in itself is a to-do.
Yeah.
So I think like,
but I mean, I had one employee under me who, like, that employee wanted to be told everything that they would do that day.
And they, then wanted, they don't have to make the decision.
They don't have to make the decision.
Yeah.
And that made them happier if they didn't have to do it.
Yeah. So, but I guess we're saying the same thing and just wording it differently. But yeah, I do think there is like a desirability of like taking away the to-do of having to decide what to do.
Yeah.
Words are hard.
Words are hard. Okay, we can revisit those if we want to, but we'll keep on moving.
Okay.
We'll keep on moving through. Detachment. I don't know about this. And I'm not really fully sure what he was saying about this. Maybe I should have reread that part of the book. But he was talking about detachment, and how I kind of understand this is kind of being objective about things to some degree. And like looking at things clearly. And I kind of see that in some regards, kind of almost with the YouTube thing and like getting caught up in the number and all of that. If you can like let go of it, become slightly detached from it, I think you might be happier.
I think that also is kind of tied to like, or maybe another meaning is not taking things personally. Like,
oh,
not like,
yeah,
being personally,
yeah,
detached from stuff.
Yeah.
So it could be both. It could be like, taking a step back and looking at things objectively, but it could be like just not taking stuff personally. Like to use the YouTube example.
Yeah.
So looking at your YouTube subscribers in a detached as an objective way is like, you can objectively say that was a lot of people that subbed today. And even if it wasn't as many as yesterday, that's a lot of people, and that's good.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be easier to do that if you're detached.
Or like YouTube comments.
Yeah, but or just to continue the analogy, if it's detached as in like not taking it personal, you're not like, oh my gosh, people don't like my stuff as much as they used to.
Yeah.
Versus just looking at the number for what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, it's like when you get feedback, you know, on YouTube or something, if you weren't as detached as might be good, then every like single like negative thing might get to you really hard. And I know that a lot of YouTube creators struggle with that.
Yeah.
And that's like a big issue for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you can kind of be detached or be objective about it and kind of like look at things objectively, then I think that might lead to more happiness.
Yeah,
in some ways.
You can objectively say like, yeah, there was one person that said a negative thing, but 500 people that said positive things.
Yeah.
And so therefore the negative doesn't matter.
But if you're
taking it personally, then that one thing still hurts.
I think of detachment as, it's not caring, because you should care about a lot of things in life. But I think detachment is kind of being able to take a step back and look at things in a true way.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's how I think of that advice. Because I think that would be good advice.
That does make sense, yeah. Thinking of it in that way.
Yeah. Okay, next up on the list is understanding. I think that's a really, really big thing. Because I kind of think of understanding not just understanding of yourself, but also of others. Well, I guess understanding that probably most people would think of it as others.
As others.
But also yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think understanding comes with, well, if you're looking at like understanding yourself, that comes with like self-analyzing. And if you're self-analyzing, you're probably more likely to be taking conscious steps towards what makes you happy because you understand yourself. If you don't understand yourself, you may not be able to take steps that make you happy.
But you can even like mix the understanding and detachment together and like being able to like take a step back on your life, looking at it kind of like objectively, and then giving yourself understanding and like accepting things for yourself.
That's true.
And I think that would be something that would increase happiness.
That's true. And then like for understanding of others, I mean, it's like obvious, like, you know, being an empathetic person, you're going to have better relationships with other people. I think that's like the more obvious.
But also I think it's like even more immediate. Like if you don't put effort into being understanding of others, you might get upset more unnecessarily.
Oh, that's true. Like you might take something personally instead of realizing like, oh, that person just had a rough day.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like realizing that they're trying to give you feedback. They're trying to improve your life. And they might be saying something from a place of love and concern or care. And that also kind of ties back into detachment, being able to take a step back from the situation and trying to understand where they're coming from. And then like appreciate that instead of getting caught up in like exactly like you're getting defensive or anything like that. You can like say, hey, I appreciate that. I understand that. And
yeah,
it's a positive thing instead of a negative thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay. One more, mindfulness. I definitely think that this has a lot to do with happiness.
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause I kind of think of mindfulness very similarly as, well, I guess there's different. So many of these have overlaps because
I know, yeah.
Part of mindfulness is also kind of like understanding yourself. I think there's some overlaps there. Like being mindful of your own feelings and where you are. But then there's mindfulness as in like being present.
Yeah. I think of it a lot of time as being present, okay. You know, because I think that one thing that's come up again and again in like these, because I'm such a nerd, but You know, I think I've talked about this in one past episode. I have a life cheat sheet where I kind of like compile advice I've gotten from books or TED Talks or anything like that. And a lot of people have talked about how being mindful of your day, being appreciative in the moment and being present is a huge part of being happy. If you're always thinking of the next thing or you're not.
Always thinking of the past thing.
Yeah. If you're thinking of future things or past things or other things, anything other than the moment, it's a lot easier to not be happy.
Yeah.
And if you are able to be present and mindful in the moment, it's almost always an increase in happiness.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And it's been something that I have like checked myself on multiple times. Like sometimes when I'm not being mindful and not being present, I'm like, I'm not enjoying this really good situation I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes like, you know, we'll go out to dinner and we'll be like,
but we'll both still be in work mode.
We'll still be in work mode because we just came from work.
Yeah.
And we're about to go back to work. And, you know, when we are, most of the time we are fairly present with each other.
Yeah.
And
when
we are like very present, we'll have interesting conversations or we'll get excited about something in the future or we'll make plans or like we'll engage with each other or discuss something about the day or, you know, all sorts of things. And it's a really interesting, fun time. But if we're still kind of distracted and we're like planning to-dos or like getting into productive modes, then it's so funny. It's like all of the examples that we're giving are all around work because like there aren't that many personal time things we do anymore.
Yeah.
Or let's say you're on vacation.
Yeah. You don't want to be thinking about the stuff you got to do when you get home.
Yeah. And if you're able to be mindful and present in the moment, then you're going to enjoy the trip and that time a lot more.
I think one thing, and I do generally agree with that, but I do think there are certain situations where I feel like being distracted is more fun.
Oh.
But that's like, for example, if I'm like cooking or if you're sanding, I really enjoy having like a podcast on, or like sometimes I'll call my mom and we'll just chit chat.
I think of that as being mindful.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. You don't think of it as being distracting from your task at hand?
Because like I think that like what you're thinking of is being present in the moment. It's like, well, you could just, you know,
enjoy chopping these vegetables.
Enjoy chopping or enjoy sanding. And like if you have thoughts to think, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, like there are.
And sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm just like, I'll put in my headphones and I just won't turn on the podcast.
Because you have thoughts and you're spending time with your thoughts. And if like if you like either way, you can be mindful in either situation. You know, you could be like, sometimes when I'm in the garage just doing sanding with a good podcast on, I think, this moment is really nice.
Mm.
You know?
I see. And the moment is enjoying the podcast while sanding.
Yes. Yes. And I'm like, I like this.
That's interesting.
Whereas like if you're like, oh, I have to sand and I want to do other things, then you could like really resent the sanding.
That's interesting. That does seem like a more accurate way to think about it. Because that was like my one loophole. I was like, well, there's some tasks that I don't enjoy unless I have a distraction.
Yeah, I think being mindful and being present in the moment doesn't mean like fully focusing on the one thing that you're doing, but like this might be another example, and it's a strange mix of everything. But let's say the two of us, and we never do this because we never watch shows in the background, but like let's say that the two of us have like a show on in the background. Oh no, we have done something like this.
Yeah, okay. We did when we like cleaned out our closets.
Yeah, so we were at home, we were cleaning out a closet, we had a show that like was a more background show on the background, would chat with each other. I was working on like setting up a cabinet and Caitlin was working on clothes. So we had clothes going on, we had TV, we had cabinet, and we were chatting, but we were very present in that moment. And that was super enjoyable.
That's true. Yeah, so maybe that's so interesting because I don't know why it didn't click for me that like having distractions can be part of the moment.
Yeah.
But I guess that is different than like sanding and listening to a podcast is different than sanding and just wishing you were doing something else.
Yeah. Like if you're sanding and you wish with all of your being that you were just playing Minecraft still or something like that, then that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
better
you're
to like find, you know, a way to enjoy the sanding, which like, might be a podcast.
Yeah. You can be like, you know what? I'm really excited to play Minecraft when it's time to play Minecraft. Mm-hmm. It'll wait for me. The game is infinite and it will always bring me joy. Yeah. You know?
Well, okay. So here's an interesting thing. So a lot of times our breaks are when we're doing just kind of like normal life to-dos that have to be done but aren't work.
Yes.
So like if we need to pick up around the house, or like if we need to cook something, or like if we need to go run an errand.
Yeah.
That it's like, or like go to the dentist. But that's like a break from work. And like even though those things, like when we were working 9 to 5 and I had to go grocery shopping, I'd be like, ugh, I just want to get home because it seemed like an extra to-do.
Yeah.
And now, even though sometimes I don't want to go grocery shopping just because I feel like a deadline or something.
Yeah.
But now it's like, whew, it'd be nice to take like a grocery shopping break.
And like you can call your mom or listen to a podcast and you can be present. And sorry, like, I had to burp. You can be present while you do that and then you can really enjoy that time.
Yeah. Instead of looking at it as like a to-do.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Loophole closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that we talked the most about mindfulness. That's really interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah.
But I think that, like, you know, again, like you're saying, so many of these things tie in together. So like being mindful, especially in combination with some of these things, can really boost the happiness of the other things. Like, let's say that you are choosing to, like for the two of us, sometimes we're like, okay, we need to get work done. We need to get brainstorming done, but let's do it while we drive to this really amazing coffee shop and let's do the work at the coffee shop because that'll help us like enjoy it more. Mm-hmm. If you're being mindful of like, you know what, I'm making this choice and I have the autonomy to do so, then like if you're mindful of the position that you're in and how lucky you are to be able to do that,
yeah,
that'll make you even more happy.
Oh, it all layers
about what you're doing.
That's true.
And if you're present in the moment during the drive while you get there and when you drive back, the whole trip can be experienced instead of like, some people don't like driving, but like if we have something interesting to talk about during the drive,
they're like, ooh, I'm glad we have a 20-minute drive ahead of us.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it can be a positive thing also.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one.
Okay.
This is like, you know, it's a little bit hard and we probably won't dive too much into this. I don't know. Maybe we will. But transcendence. The existence or experience beyond the normal or physical. And I think that like, you know, in general on our podcast and on our channel and all of that, we try to stay away from controversial things. And I don't think religion is that controversial, but I don't think that this is necessarily just religion. This could be anything.
Actually, the way that I read, like the first thing that popped into mind when I saw this is like, if you are going camping or you're like out in the wilderness and you just like take a moment to really appreciate like being part of the universe.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like, kind of like, stepping like, outside yourself and thinking of like
how small you are.
Yeah. Like, wow, there's a lot of stars up there.
And how giant the universe is and how like, it keeps on getting bigger every second.
It really doesn't matter if our next video gets this many views or that many views. Like, look at all those stars.
So it helps with detachment.
It helps with detachment. Yeah. But that's kind of what pops into my mind when I think of like the. So we have written down transcendence, existence or experience beyond the normal or physical.
So transcendence, all he wrote is transcendence.
Oh, so that's like what you interpreted.
Yeah, because I was like, what is it like the technical definition of transcendence?
Okay.
And I looked it up and it was the existence or experience beyond the normal or physical. But like you said, like beyond the normal. So like to some people, it might be going camping, seeing a double rainbow, and wondering what it all means. And being present in that moment and appreciating the autonomy that you had to go camping at that moment and see that double rainbow and wondering what it means, not knowing what it means, and reveling in that.
Yep, that's totally it. And not too far off from my example, actually, which is funny. That just reminds me of, there's one point where we were both in California at the same summer.
Oh,
like, we
were
in the same place at the same time with our families, but we weren't dating yet, and we saw the same double rainbow, and we texted each other. Or did we, like, post photos on Facebook and then comment?
We both posted photos on Facebook.
And then we commented on each other's Facebook photos.
It's like, we saw the same rainbow.
And we made the same, like, joke about double rainbow.
Our minds were already one.
It's true. double mind.
I kind of thought of like, it's not really transcendent. I don't know. But like, I did kind of have like thoughts about how crazy it is that among all of the billions of people, we found each other. We are such a great match. We have so many same brain thoughts.
That's true.
And that's a crazy thing.
That is crazy. And we met in college and I almost didn't even go to that college. It was like a last minute choice.
Yeah.
A little switcheroo. Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah, that's a good example too.
Yeah. Okay, another thing that I've thought about a lot recently, ever since I read this again, but like all of today, I read this, I prepared this podcast earlier in today, and all of today I've kind of been, this has been stuck in my head, but acceptance of difficulty.
Yes.
I think it's a great thing to be aware of. Like, just accept that a lot of things in life are difficult, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, which I don't think is... It sounds negative.
But I think that leads to such happiness.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I don't think of it as a negative thing. And it reminds me actually of, I'm pretty sure this is on your life cheat sheet. I think it was from a TED Talk. But like, you can better experience happiness when you are facing struggles.
Yeah.
Because like, you kind of need the lower to appreciate the higher.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely...
You need the lows to appreciate the highs.
You can definitely experience higher peaks after some valleys. I mean, I think we've also talked about this before. So I think that we have this theory that everyone has a base level of happiness on like a scale. Mm-hmm. And they usually return to that base unless something dramatic happens and their base happiness like slides up and down. But like in everyone's days and lives, you know, it goes up and down. But one thing that was very interesting, they did a study of people who have gone through traumatic life experiences where like they thought that their life would be ruined after it, but when they were checked in afterwards, you know, it's like their base level of happiness was relatively unaffected by this thing that you'd think would really change your happiness.
That's interesting. That's kind of different from what I was talking about, but that is also very interesting.
Yeah,
I was talking more about like, and this kind of is tied to like, think about retirement. Like feel like a lot of people when they first start working, it's like very hard to get used to having a 9-to-5 and you don't have summer breaks and it's just like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so long till I retire.
Yeah.
But most people, when they get to retirement, it seems like a lot of people don't actually enjoy it because you don't have like a challenge every day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's not the only reason, there's other things, but I think like having a challenge and overcoming a challenge gives you happiness. And I think that's related to like acceptance of difficulty.
Yes.
Like there will be difficulties and you can use them to like increase your happiness.
I want to do a whole podcast at some point about how life is like a video game. That's almost what I had this podcast be. If you think about it, like the acceptance of difficulty, no one likes games that are too easy.
Yeah.
It's like, let's say that you're playing a role-playing game like Diablo, for example, and you started out the game and you had all of your god level gear and equipment and all of that, and you couldn't adjust the difficulty any harder.
Yeah.
Well, you'd just quit. You'd just quit right away. You wouldn't even play it.
Yeah, there's no fun.
The acceptance of difficulty, it's like realizing that like, not that life is a video game and there's some levels of difficulty that aren't, that don't lead to happiness, that are really unfortunate. And I wish that everyone had like, you know, opportunities presented to themselves. And some people didn't have to go through such difficulties in life. But I think everyone, if you accept that life is difficult, it will increase your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of also goes back to like expectation versus reality.
Yeah.
A little bit. And what was it? Happiness is
expectation versus minus reality.
Or reality.
Reality minus what your expectation was.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah. Like, if what you expect and what reality are different, then you're probably not going to be happy about it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit of that too.
Yeah. One more, constant awareness of mortality. That's a bit morbid.
It is. I mean, I see it. It's like the live each day like it was your last, kind of.
A little bit. I'm not sure if that'd be smart.
I don't think so either.
I think that like...
No one would have retirement funds.
I think that like one note that I kind of wrote next to it, like my interpretation of it. And this was actually from back when I read the book, but I might have also been like pulling from different TED Talks. But how I interpret it was like to break the routine every now and then, to live intensely, like live purposefully and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because it, like, you know, kind of goes back to like the swimming versus floating, mm-hmm. you know, like if you always assume that later on you're going to do something, you know, like, and you always put things off and you just stay in the same lane.
You may never do them.
You may never do them. So I think that like,
knowing that your time is limited makes you use that time more wisely.
Maybe instead of constant awareness of mortality, maybe say like constant awareness and joy that you're alive.
No, but I think I think it is. I think it has to be the mortality, because it's like constant awareness that your time is numbered. You know? That like it will run out.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that we are
constant awareness.
like you have like a reminder that pops up on your phone every like 10 minutes, like you're going to die one day.
Yeah.
I think it might help you appreciate what you have. Maybe like the constant awareness of mortality will help with the mindfulness. Mm-hmm. It definitely will help boost it a little bit.
I think also certain things, maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but like, for example, when we quit our jobs to do this, we knew that we would regret not trying more than we would regret trying and failing. And I'm trying to like, my brain had a connection for that to the awareness of mortality.
Well, but I think that we were just aware that we are running out of time in life, which is constant awareness of mortality. You know,
yeah,
it's like you're always constantly running out of time. It's like there's this movie where it was kind of like future dystopia where everyone had like a counter of how much life they had left or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. And like that really make you aware of how much time you have to live. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But like, yeah, being aware that like your time is limited and you should make good use of it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and like you only have one life, so you know, go for the things you want to go for.
Yeah, I'm glad we did.
Me too.
Oh man. Okay, ceaseless striving. That kind of ties into what we were just talking about. Like, and it again ties into like, man, the swimming and floating analogy that like I think of a lot.
Yeah.
That sums up so much of this.
So many of these, yeah.
Like, are you a swimmer or are you a floater?
Yeah.
Not that there's wrong with floating at times, but like, it seems like a lot of this ties into like, do you want to be more passive in life or do you want to be more active in life?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we are like, you know, both of us, strangely, I'm not sure how many people I've met like you in this regard, but like when I was, I'm trying to remember the earliest in life that I remember thinking this, but I think it was like when I was younger than 10 years old. I'm not sure how much younger it was, but I always kind of met people, and when I met them, I kind of like thought about like what I liked about them and what I didn't like about them. And that kind of sounds weird, but like when you're growing up, you're figuring out who you want to be. Mm-hmm. And I constantly wanted to be striving even from a young age, even though it might not have been so consciously this, but when I was younger, or throughout my entire life, I always wanted to be striving towards the person I want to be. Mm-hmm. And how do I go about that? How do I like, who do I want to be? How do I want to live my life? And how do I get there? Mm-hmm. I've constantly been kind of like trying to move forward in that direction.
Well, I think one thing that is common between the two of us is we both moved a lot. Mm. When you move a lot, you have an opportunity to reinvent yourself every time. So you kind of do think about it. And like, I definitely reinvented myself.
Me too.
Through many moves.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessary. Like, some things were maybe a little deeper. Some things were kind of shallow. Like, I'm going to start shopping at Hot Topic now, you know? But like, it was, I think it is something that you're given the opportunity to change yourself more easily when you're going, like when you move a lot. Not that you can't, but like when you're a kid, it is kind of, I think, more intimidating or harder to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
If you're not moving and meeting like whole new groups of friends.
Yeah. There is a, I was going to go on like a complete tangent. So I was going to throw off your train in a big way.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so recently I was listening to an interview on The Create Unknown.
That was my pick last week.
Yeah, and they were talking about the question of, like, why don't successful YouTubers and content creators retire?
Mm-hmm. I listened to that one also.
That was just a really fascinating topic, and I think that one big part of it is, you know, ceaselessly striving and winning. That's kind of addictive. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're on that upswing and you're constantly trying to grow and, you know, win at all these like metrics and stuff like that, it's hard to stop, because that is a source of happiness. It's a pretty obvious one, you know, but I think that on the negative side of this is, what if you do succeed, you are at that peak, and you realize that you've reached that and there's nowhere else to strive, really.
Yeah.
So it's like, make sure you're striving in the right direction. Cause I think some people just strive for like numbers and like money or success or whatever it is. And I think that when we started out this venture, the striving that we wanted to do was to change our life, improve our life, spend more time together, find creative fulfillment, find like all these other types of fulfillment. Financials were like, let's just make enough money to survive and stuff. Like, let's make sure that we have all of our bills covered. We don't need to worry about, like, you know, are we going to make ends meet after this period of time? Or what if, like, YouTube falls and we don't have enough money in our nest egg? Or what if our savings aren't good or whatever it is? It's like, we had minimal requirements around money. Mm-hmm. And the thing we've been striving for this whole time is, we want to get our life to a good point.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you know, the financial side. But that's the goal wasn't the finances. The goal was our life.
Yeah. And it is interesting because, you know, I think people can easily get caught up in the finances or get caught up in just like the numbers, like the subscribers or the views. And it's interesting because sometimes we'll get asked by like family members, like, so, you know, when do you think you guys will be able to slow down? When you get to this many subs? When you get to this many subs? And our answer is always like, it's not about how many subs we get to. We're not aiming for a like number of subs. We're aiming to get, we're like, you know, we can stop working in the evenings. Like, that's the goal, is to, like, you know, we want to get to a good work-life balance. And sometimes that requires more work up front.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are right now. You know, we haven't hit that work-life balance. And, you know, even though I know this isn't an idea I'm coming up with independently, but we listened to the Making It podcast, and one thing that Bob from I Like to Make Stuff, who's also on the Making It podcast, says is that, like, it's not a balance. It's not a single balance point.
It's a seesaw.
It's like you're constantly balancing. So I know there's never, like, that one point where it's like, okay, we got it. Like, you're constantly shifting.
Yeah.
But we're definitely not at the point where we have the flexibility to shift as needed right now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're working towards. Like, we got the working together. Check. That was like the main reason we started the channel. Like, lots of creative fulfillment, you know, and sometimes we're like, ooh, like, it would be really cool to start this other type of channel. And we have to try to resist. But we do get creative fulfillment from the stuff we do. But yeah, it's like the balance is the part we're still striving for.
Yeah. Well, really, it's like, you guys, we don't want to complain. We don't want to become a complain cast, because we are really lucky. But, like, there are some things that we want to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also because we're swimmers. And so we're always like, what can we change? Let's keep changing things.
Yeah. Because, like, if we had just started the YouTube channel and stopped there, we probably might be at that good work-life balance point.
We probably would be. We'd still be doing more instructional videos, which are a little bit faster to like edit and film. I think it's a little bit faster.
Yeah. But I think that
we'd still be like, we wouldn't have the gaming channel. We wouldn't have this podcast.
Yeah. But I think that because we are swimmers and we are like long-term planners and stuff, and we do try to like understand, like, not that anyone understands YouTube or, like, you know, and everyone stinks at predicting what their happiness is going to be in the future. You know, it's like humans in general aren't the best at like predicting what will make them happy in the future. But I think that one thing that we did know is we wanted to be flexible. We wanted variety. And again, we wanted that autonomy with our content. Because like we knew that if we put ourselves too much into a box,
we'd get bored.
We'd get bored long term. And we want to set ourselves up with the flexibility that we need to continue doing this for the rest of our lives. And we wanted to build that into our plan from the beginning as much as possible. And I think that with the balance we have now, we have that. It's just a lot. So what of these like nine things did you resonate the most with you? And what were you kind of like, eh?
So I think the mindfulness resonated a lot.
Yeah.
And the, I mean, these are very similar as we mentioned before, but like the autonomy slash personal responsibility.
Yeah.
The, like choosing what to do with your time and being active in choosing rather than like passive.
And I also think that
it's kind of similar, but yeah.
Like there's a lot of hard choices in life, you know? And I think that like, I like changing jobs or changing careers. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And you know, if you know, you have, and hopefully everyone has these opportunities available to themselves, but like, you know, when we were working on our careers, there were a lot of options for us in terms of work. We had the autonomy to do that. We could have changed jobs, we could have changed careers or whatever. But like the personal responsibility to actively choose it, it's tough. But you know, we like one of my first jobs, I wasn't doing much. It was a fairly easy job, and I took the responsibility on myself to choose to move to another job, a startup company, where I was working longer hours. Everything was harder, but I was happy with that choice because I made it actively, and I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, we were talking about, like which ones resonated the most.
Oh yeah.
And that was like an example of where the autonomy and personal responsibility paid off.
I think the thing I'm still coming to terms with after reading through the list is like what the difference between autonomy and personal responsibility is. I do know they're different. I'd agree that both are important.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they could be combined into one
aspect. I think so. I think they could probably be combined. I think some of those could be combined. But I still think that those two combined as one and mindfulness are probably the ones that resonated with me the most. What about you?
I think understanding is another... Well, actually, they're all really good.
They're all really good. I think I just went with like the ones that...
Happiness.
That I had the most to like... I had the most feelings about, or I don't know, or that I could wrap the most into.
I think understanding is something that affects a lot of people. And it's something that makes a lot of people angry, especially like politically right now and socially right now. Like there's a lot of anger caused by the lack of understanding.
Yeah, that is a big one.
It's a big one. So I'm not sure how much I have to say about it, but I do think that's a really big one. Like let's do a harmless example that everyone can relate to.
Okay.
You're driving to work and someone like pulls ahead of you or like is in a rush or something like that. I think it's really easy to anonymize people when they're in cars because it's just a car, you know, but like if you understand that there's a person in there, they might be in a rush. They might have had a horrible day.
Maybe they have to poop.
Maybe they have to poop. And they really want it. They really want to go for it. You know, and it's like...
they want to go for it.
And like, if, you know, they're rushing, you're like, hey, you do you. As long as you're being safe and following the laws, if you want to like rush home to go poo, I'm not in a rush. So go for it. You know, and like having a little bit of understanding and care.
Yeah, I think helps you not get upset about
helps it. Helps you not get upset, which...
And therefore...
And the lack of upsetness is a plus in happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I think that also an acceptance of difficulty, it's something that we have kind of always done, So I think that we kind of take it for granted to some degree, mm-hmm. but I think that it is really hard. It is a important one because.
Well, I think like I've had like friends and acquaintances that would never say yes to opportunities because they were difficult.
Mm, yeah.
And I think if you accept difficulty, you're more likely to like with most opportunities, there's some form of difficulty or challenge. It's not often just an opportunity that has no cost at all to you. There's usually some difficulty involved. And if you accept that difficulty is just part of life, I think you're less likely to be scared of those challenges and you're more likely to like take opportunities.
Yeah. But even little things, like little things that might have upset you, but instead you're just like, it's just, that's just how life is. So, the other day our toilet broke.
Oh yeah.
And it was just constantly running.
It's cause let's see, we were filming the skit. Yeah. We were filming the intro skit for our, Art Ledge with Hidden Storage, in which we throw fake dollar bills into the toilet tank.
Yeah.
And we like messed it up.
So something about the, you know, floater and plunger system got messed up. I know what it is now. So I'll tell it at the end, but like something was messed up. And that could have upset me, but I'm like, you know what? It is what it is, and it will either be difficult or easy. I'll just like look it up, I'll take it on, and I'll fix it. And it turned out not to be that hard at all. I just needed to clear some debris from one of the seals, and it just worked fine. But like being okay with that, it's just like, hey, that's life. Things break, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like big things and small things.
Yeah.
It changes your day.
That's true.
Yeah. So I think that's my thing. I think that, like, we could keep on talking about this forever, but we're an hour into this podcast. So
we should do our thing of the week.
My thing of the week is Interstellar 5555. It's maybe a very, very obscure thing, but most people have heard of Daft Punk. The band, the two artists who create amazing songs. One of their probably my favorite album is the Discovery album. It's just so good. And what you might not know is there's an entire movie around that album.
It's so cool.
It's amazing. It was one of the first things I watched with you.
Yeah, you showed it to me.
I think pretty it early like the on, like second movie we watched together. It was like Spirited Away, then Interstellar 5555. But like they were able to take this album and turn it into an amazingly cohesive music video movie story.
It's so cool.
And like I still think about it sometimes.
Well, that's why it's your thing of the week, because I mean one of the songs popped into your head the other day, and we've been singing it since then.
And I had to look up and like replay a few moments from the movie online, because we have it, we purchased it. I'll put a link below. I'm not sure where you can buy it now because it's such an obscure thing.
It's so obscure.
It's like I hope that they have it digitally somewhere.
I don't know.
Available online.
Yeah.
But it's if you love, so it's done in the style of like an anime.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good, like. Anime movie.
Yeah, it's really good, like illustrations and stuff.
But it's just
if you want like a movie length music video with a cool story.
Yeah, I'm not sure how actively you can watch it. I mean, we watched it as a movie.
We just watched the whole thing. Yeah.
So if you like alternative movies based around albums.
It's really cool.
It's really cool.
Well, I think especially if you're someone that likes Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Then you like extra appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
If you're like not a fan, obviously.
It's basically like the best music video ever that's over an hour long.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is if you're watching the video, I'm pulling off. Well, not pulling off. That sounds like I'm taking it off of my body. I have our hoodies. My thing of the week is our ENK hoodies. We finally have hoodies now because everyone's been asking. And we really wanted them too.
Yeah. So, it took us a while to like figure out what hoodie to choose.
Well, because
first
I was like, okay, like let's do zip-up hoodies because those are like I don't know, most of my hoodies are zip up. So I was like, let's do zip ups. But then, you know, we work with a print on demand company. So we're limited in like what options we can choose. And you couldn't easily print on the fronts, and all of our designs, I wanted to print on the front.
Yeah.
And so we put it off for a while, and then I was like, oh, these pullover ones got really good ratings. And so we finally put them together. We had to like wait to get our sample orders in before we wanted to say anything to anyone, because we wanted to make sure that they were super comfy and stuff.
And make sure they wear well and everything.
But I love them. They're my thing of the week. Oh, and we made sweatpants too. I'm also wearing those. But yeah, so we have a make fail hoodie, a words are hard hoodie, and we got a request for a supervisor in space hoodie, so we got that one too. And then these sweatpants say one sleep later down the leg, because that was another popular request. So I think it's cool that, like, I don't know if we mentioned this on the podcast before, but like we used to work with a local screen printing company and like keep our own inventories. And it was so hard to like keep accurate stock for what we would need. And we only had one t-shirt design in one color. And even with that, it was so hard. But since we do print on demand, I can literally be like, oh, yeah, that person wants a
kid size.
Yeah, that person wants a kid size. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this supervisor t-shirt. Sure, I'll just do that real quick. Here you go. Here's your t-shirt.
Well, and it's available in like all sorts of sizes.
Yeah, if you need size, it, like, women's sizes.
Or like large or small.
Yeah,
or
extra. Yeah, the plus sizes. Yeah. So it's so nice being able to just like make as many designs as we want. You know, we can do special things for people if it's not something that we have on the store.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nice not it's having really to deal with inventory when everything's print on demand.
So we appreciate you guys understanding when it takes a little bit longer to ship, or, you know, we can't do returns and stuff like that. There are some pluses downsides and minuses.
And we make like way less than we would.
We make way less, but you know, we can accommodate a lot of people in this way.
And plus, I like that. I just love designing t-shirts because I used to do graphic design stuff. So it's fun, like getting to design our t-shirts. Yeah.
Well, Caitlin, good podcast.
Good podcast.
Good podcast. Good podcast.
Good podcast. Good podcast. Good podcast.
I really like doing topics on things where we can like get into like serious discussions. Cause like when I came up with this, I was like, I'm just really excited to talk to you about this stuff. Cause these are things that we like talking about. We talk about them. We analyze life a lot. Our own lives, other people's lives, like life in general.
Yeah.
Like what's the meaning of life? And
we talk about life a lot.
We do. And that comes from being mindful and analyzing things.
Mm.
Point number five.
Constant awareness of our own mortality.
All right, guys. How do I do an outro again? Every outro of the podcast, I'm like...
Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can like and subscribe on YouTube, or you can rate us on iTunes.
And share,
we appreciate that.
Share this podcast with a person you think would appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
Bye.